Hello and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business located in Churchill on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. There, me and my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word business, and you can come get your car washed by hand. And there also you can listen to the Word of God being preached in a verse by verse format by tuning your radio to 107.1 while in the parking lot. And there you can hear this message and others as they play on a loop during open business hours. We are also on this radio station, WMCH, Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. Now, we're going to get right back into things as a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry. We pick up where we left off yesterday, and we are at a section of scripture in John chapter 6. We left off at verse 34, where we are in the narrative is there's this crowd that has followed Jesus, and they caught up with him on the other side of the shore, and they talked about this bread that they wanted to get from him. And you know, Jesus says that, you know, he's given them this concept of bread, but not in the sense that of what they're asking. Of course, Jesus always, when he referred to bread, meant the bread of eternal life and the fellowship with the Father through Christ himself. And their response in verse 34 was an interesting one. After Jesus talks about, well, let's go ahead and read verse 32. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And their reply was, "Sir, from now on, give us this bread." And I stopped on our last message just to touch on this answer that they gave, because again, I like to consider myself a realist, and while most people would call that cynicism, I prefer the title realist. and the reason that, you know, I bring that up is because I understand that the reality is for most of us, and Christians in general, we're not full-blown sinners in our mind. We're not walking around thinking about doing evil, nor are we always walking around thinking about doing good. And the answer that they give here, I think it reflects where most of us are. From now on, give us this bread. And this is a statement of understanding, but it is a tainted understanding. And she might say, well, that sounds interesting. What does it mean? And you know, I'm not really sure, but it does sound good, doesn't it? It's a statement of understanding, but it is a tainted understanding. And I do have a little bit of an explanation for that. You see, there's a melding of the two kingdoms in this statement. And that is the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth, where we dwell now. An eye-opening reality of this new bread combined with the reality of the old life. You see, we want heavenly things in the earthly realm. We want to blend the gifts of heaven with the desires of the flesh. And we know from other scriptures that this doesn't work that way, that fresh water doesn't flow out of salt water doesn't flow out of a freshwater spring, and that new wine doesn't get put into old wineskins. But the reality of it, we understand what God is asking of us, but the tainted part of it is we tend to want these two things together, and it's never been God's desire to meld the heavenly with the earthly. It's never been God's desire to mix spirit and flesh. We want the bread that comes down from heaven, as it were, but we want it to fill our earthly stomachs. And remember the first point that we mentioned in this section of scripture a few teachings ago, and that was that Jesus meets your needs where your needs need to be met. And if we're seeking God for some sort of a miracle or some sort of a self-indulgence, and even though he may oblige at times, we are not receiving from God that which we truly need. Remember, Jesus knows the difference between our needs and our wants. And Jesus meets your needs where your needs need to be met. And what we need, what we truly need, is spiritual food to fill our not fleshly hunger, but our spiritual hunger. You see, these people, they traveled a long way around a big lake to have their needs met, their physical needs. They were looking for more of this magic bread Jesus did when he fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish. Oftentimes we go to Jesus for something, but Jesus intends to change our lives and our thoughts and our attitude and our hearts in the process. And the problem with getting spiritual solutions to physical needs is that most people do not want the new wineskin. They just want the new wine. They want the blessing that comes down from heaven. They want their prayers to be met, but they don't want to change their vessel, as it were. And this is why so many people don't come to Jesus. They think that in order to have the salvation of Christ, they have to completely change everything about them. And that will change in time, but the reality of doing so to receive Christ, it's a roadblock. It's a stumbling block for so many people. We're going to continue reading. Before I do, I want you to remember this. God will never pour out spiritual power into carnal containers. God is never going to pour out spiritual power into carnal containers. And so if your life is being defined by just status quo spirituality, if there isn't power flowing through your words and your thoughts and your actions and your service, then maybe the problem is God isn't able to pour into you because there's too much carnal container being present in your life. That's a word for somebody out there today. Verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whomever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Stopping there. One thing I learned as my years of being a pastor is that there are two words you should always avoid and never use. And of course, those words are always and never. We may say something like, "God will never bless a bad attitude," but sometimes he does. Or we may say something like, "God always punishes wickedness." Sometimes it appears like he doesn't. Point is that using these words always and never is a risky words. Those are risky words to use. It kind of goes back to verse 29, where they said, "What must we do?" You know, there are two answers that accompany the question, "What must we do?" You know, as believers, and one of the answers goes like, well, you have to do everything. You have to work hard. You have to show yourself worthy. You have to do this and do that and do. And the other one is, well, you don't have to do anything. Just sit back, relax. Don't get involved. God does it all. It's all God's working, et cetera, et cetera. And these are the always/never solutions to many issues of Christianity. But with the verse-by-verse teaching, we've adopted a middle-of-the-road philosophy by doing this type of Bible exposition. We stick in the middle. We don't go off to one end or off to the other side too much for too long. You see, the Spirit is alive, as are the gifts of the Spirit in you. Yet God is a God of order. So we move by the Spirit, but we stay the course by his word. Think of it like a sailboat. You know, the wind moves the sails, but the rudder steers the vessel. And so they work in conjunction with other with each other. And so we're going to look here at four never slash always statements that appear in the text that we just read. And the one thing you learn if you ever study survival, like in the wilderness, there's four things that you need to do in this particular order. And they are find shelter, fire, get water, and then get food. But in this scripture, we see four never always applications, but they're in reverse order. So the first one is food. And the first never we see in this section of scripture we just read is whoever comes to Jesus will never hunger again. That's what he says in verse 35. I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry. What do you do when you get hungry? You eat. But what about after a buffet? Does anyone seek food after they go to a buffet and stuff their stuff their stomach with all the food that they can eat? No, we waddle out of there, and the last thing I want to think about is food. This whole section of scripture in today in chapter 6 has been about God supplying to the world what it truly needs the most: fulfillment, meaning, understanding, happiness. And the reason this New Age philosophy is on the rise is because it conforms to the person's desires and wants, not to their needs. And there is a hunger within all of us for something else, something bigger than ourselves. God put that hunger there, and guess what? Only God can fill it. Jesus is the bread of life from heaven that fills your spiritual hunger, and you will never hunger again. The second never that we see here is whoever comes to Jesus will never thirst again. That we also see in verse 35, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Using one of those words, those dangerous never always words. And remember, in a survival situation, water is so vital. Without it, things turn to dust. Gardens of Edens turn to deserts when there is no water present. Revelation 7:16 says, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst, and the sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. Now, this is a never statement that we long for. I have known thirst. I have been thirsty. A thirsty person is consumed with finding water. And today, people are thirsty for the living water, but their consumption for finding it has taken them way off course. They're looking for that water that quenches their thirst permanently. They're looking for it in false religions and false prophets, false teaching, and they have been guided by people that lead thirsty people to an oasis that's just a mirage where they are left to die. The third statement we see is whoever comes to Jesus will never be alone again. We see that in verse 37. All that the Father has given to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And so we've already looked at three never always statements. And Jesus says he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. But this scripture in Deuteronomy encompasses all of that. In Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. In survival, fire is so important because it's companionship. It boosts morale and gives you a feeling of company. And there are many people out there right now who are hearing my voice and are just going through some difficult times, just going through some stuff. Let me tell you, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So not only does Jesus say you'll never hunger again, you will also never thirst again, but he will also never leave you. That's three of the four never statements. We'll look at the one always statement when we return tomorrow at this time at 8:30. I encourage you to join us. Also, you can go to the washandword.com website for all the information about this business. Have a blessed day.